Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, October 27th. I want to welcome everyone to the show. I haven't been here, so it's like new to me. hosting along with myself tonight. We lost you, Gary.
I'm here.
I was going to say, I'm a man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
I'm here. How you doing?
What's happening?
How you been?
Haven't seen your face in a while. I'm not saying that's bad.
Yeah, sure. Oh, hey, now I've got...
Oh, you got...
I'm going now.
All right, we're good now.
Nope. How you doing?
All right, not too bad. Too bad. Of course, Mr. Matt over there.
Yep.
How you been, man? I've been gone. You guys been here. I've been gone. So you got to fill me in what's happening, man. What's the latest?
We're keeping everything...
Well, you're not Cindy, I can tell you that.
I'm sorry, yeah. Otherwise, we'll get right to it. Yeah.
Keep it rolling. Yeah.
And I got to say that I was told last night that Gary misses you.
Gary?
Yes.
Not you, Gary. I'm well, thanks, Gary.
Hell no.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. We got Mr. Should I call you Bray? What should I call you? Bradley? Brad? Okay.
Brad's fine.
Brad. Hopkins from Prump Valley Speedway, modified driver.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you being here. Thanks for sitting in here and putting up with these guys.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
But, hey, what you laughing at?
You're not here, so he don't have to put up with you.
No, I'm not here most of the time, so I just pop in once in a while.
And,
so.
Again, thanks to Cindy for filling in for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I guess so.
Can't thank her enough. And speaking of Cindy, we'll go ahead and talk about her real quick. Custom earbuds from Cindy. You can get them at Hear Clear, 725-333-HEAR. We'll have them ready for your race season coming up. Or she does just regular old hearing aids for some of you older guys, Gary. Some of you older guys, Gary.
What?
Yeah. What'd you say?
I don't know. Do they use these on dirt, too? The earbuds and stuff, or not really? You guys don't have radios in the modifieds, do you?
We have receivers, so, sort of. We don't have spotters like you do in asphalt.
Okay.
But we do have the man in the tower or the flagman or whatever that tells us if there's a caution or helps us.
So these are still good to fit underneath your helmet.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's good to hear because, some tracks, when receivers first came out, I was like, hey, that's a pretty good idea, man. And you see it in asphalt, and I never really kind of related it to them using it a lot more in the dirt scene. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, it's more far as safety-wise than it is. I mean, like I say, we don't have spotters in dirt. So there's in dirt racing, there's nobody in your ear telling you that somebody's catching you or that you're running away from the field. It's just
you're all
safety
on your
thing.
Own.
Yeah, you're all on your own.
No, that's cool. And you know what? And sometimes it's better to leave some of those safety calls to the guy in the tower that can see a little bit of everybody. That's not always true, but
no, they see what they want to see.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who's in the tower
that's
making
right.
those calls. But we won't
and
call anybody out.
Track.
Yeah, we won't call anybody out at Pahrump. But no. Hey, Brad. Again, like I said, appreciate you being here. But you raced out in Pahrump. But let's rewind a little bit. Talk about who Brad Hopkins is. You know, when did you start to get into racing? If it was locally or where was it?
I was actually doing demolition derby, if you believe it or not. I was doing demolition derby and our local racetrack. I remember as a kid,
where was this at?
Southeastern Colorado.
Oh, okay.
So I remember as a kid, our local track. I remember, my dad would take me to watch the races and you know, I thought that was the greatest thing that there was, you know, it was dirt track racing on Saturday nights, you know.
Right. So you had something to look forward to on the weekend.
Yeah. And believe it or not, our racetrack, our local racetrack had closed. And the owner of the track decided, hey, he was going to give it another shot. And actually, my father-in-law, who's a retired mechanic out of California, heard it on the radio.
Wow.
And he's like, hey, well, what do you think we get a race car to put together? And I told him that sounded a whole lot better than destroying cars on one night deal. So,
well, so back in Colorado, you were, how old were you when you first started going to the track? Five or six?
Yeah, I was probably 5-6 years old.
Do you remember like the smells and the noise and all that stuff back when? I mean, that's what kind of got stuck in you and you got the bug back 5 or 6. I wish I was introduced to racing when I was that age.
Well, and the neat thing is Pahrump does some of the same things. I mean, when there's interest, but they had nights where the drivers would actually pull their cars out onto the racetrack,
right,
and give the kids a ride. And, you know, you could pick your favorite driver and actually go for a ride. And,
right,
and I remember at, you know, 5-6 years old,
That's amazing.
I thought that, you know, to me, those guys were NASCAR.
Right. Yeah. You didn't
know
any different.
I knew
right.
no different. And, and so I, yeah, I, fair enough to say I was hooked from the very beginning.
Did you
five,
continue, you remember continuing going, or was there like a period where you just kind of, you know, became a teenager and didn't go and, you know,
yeah,
did sports and other things?
Well, and like I said, the local track had closed for a period.
Wow.
And so, I mean, yeah, it was kind of one of those out of sight, out of mind. I mean, there was other tracks around, but they were...
You had your driver's license to go to them.
Right.
Right. And so...
What was the name of the track? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was... actually, it was... now you put me on the spot.
Well, if you don't remember now, we'll get you by the end of the night.
No, it was actually, it was May Valley Speedway.
May Valley Speedway,
yeah.
Okay.
It was actually between my hometown and another town. I mean,
cool.
May Valley actually is still to this day is a town. It's
wow.
just very, very small. I mean, probably maybe 30 people live in that
no
town.
No kidding, that's
yeah.
small.
Yeah, it was a really
that, that's
small
like Gary
town.
Oh,
a race car.
Right, exactly,
yeah.
They all race.
Yeah,
that makes
much.
It the whole, well, that's cool. But closed, but it actually did reopen. What age were you when it reopened, you recall?
It was probably in, I think it reopened in like 97 or 98.
So were you at 15,
and,
16? No.
No, I was, you know, unfortunately, I'm a little longer in the tooth than that one, but.
Okay.
No, I was like 22.
Okay.
So, I mean, I was still, you know, extremely young at heart.
Did
anyway.
You do any kind of like street racing or into cars during that time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we were, you know, in high school, I was, you know, we were street outlaws before it was cool.
No.
You know, I mean,
you know, I bet there were some good roads in Colorado.
No, not,
imagine,
not
yeah.
so much.
Really?
I mean, we all, everybody knew where the closest quarter mile was, and unfortunately it was in the middle of the highway,
right.
But I was in from a small enough town that nobody really traveled
right.
those roads at that time of night, so we got by with it. But
that's funny.
But yeah, I mean, started off, you know, that away, you know, we would
were you a gearhead before? I mean, like always constantly working on stuff or not? Yeah,
no, not really. I mean,
yeah.
I was always interested in speed, I guess.
Right.
The
adrenaline part was what you wanted.
Yeah, my father always drove fast. I mean, everywhere we went. I mean, my grandparents, my parents, they was, you know, dry land wheat farmers, believe it or not.
Wow.
I mean, we was just, you know, and my dad always drove fast. And so the speed bug bit me
right.
at a young age.
That's cool.
Being a farmer, you know,
right.
I was driving a tractor by myself at 7 years old. So, I mean, I was always behind the wheel.
That's cool.
So,
plus donuts in the snow.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know you had mentioned stuff like that.
Yeah.
About the farmers
back in Illinois, yeah.
Yeah.
You go out and do donuts and spin around.
That's
and stuff.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah. Out in the pasture or out in the fields when nobody was looking, but somehow your parents always knew that you did it anyway. And
when nobody was looking.
Right, right. When nobody was looking.
But I'm sure that translated a little bit to when you got on dirt.
Well,
that feeling, because for me, driving a skid plate, the first time the car spun around on me, it was like, oh, I know this feeling because I used to do this as
right.
a kid where you just keep spinning around the parking lot. So then
it made sense. I wasn't scared.
This ain't a tractor.
Yeah. Right. Well, I wasn't scared of the vehicle. Then I could just go into racing the vehicle.
Right.
And I'm guessing it's kind of the same thing where you have that loss of control on the dirt. And then you have that familiar feeling of, I remember that.
Know how to react, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I tested my limits. I mean, against my mother's better judgment, against my father, he bought me a three-wheeler ATV I was 7 years old.
Three-wheeler,
maybe so.
Dangerous three-wheeler.
Oh, yeah.
But you bounce everywhere?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
no suspension whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the balloon tires?
Yeah, that was it. So, I mean, I was, you know, I was sliding corners on that from 7 on, too. So, I mean,
that's cool.
But, yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, the feeling wasn't, I never felt fear at all. I mean, I felt fairly comfortable. I mean, and the competitive edge of, you know, trying to keep up with whoever's in front of you, you know, it was easier that way.
Right.
You know?
That's funny. So, at what point were you able to get onto the track? Was it out there in Colorado? And
yeah. And like, yeah, I'm like, 1989. I bought actually from the track promoter's son had a car, that was planned to be a race car, but was never finished.
Huh?
And,
cool.
So I built a bomber car. That was
So you're able to finish. At least that's the way to do it, though. You get something that somebody else kind of already did the grunt work.
Well, some of it, yeah.
Now, there's still a lot of work to finish.
It's not done your way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and it had a part of a cage. It wasn't complete. So, I mean, we had to finish it. And like I said, my father-in-law was a retired mechanic out of California. So, I mean.
Do you remember what kind of car that was?
It was actually a 76 Buick Regal.
Oh, sweet. Cool.
Yeah. So,
hey, that's a pretty damn good car for a race car, especially a bomber.
And it was tough. It was. We found out that, you know, the lightest car, especially in that class, the lightest car wasn't necessarily the fastest car because you had to survive, you know, the bumping and the pushing, you know, or the rubbing.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So
did you go before you got into the bomber and did that? Did you go out and watch, obviously, and know what some of the competition was out there and knew what you were getting into, or you just kind of went head on and I'm just going to go do it?
Not really. Yeah. We just put it together and it's like, okay, well, we're going to go fast and turn left, you know, that's
right. Without
plan.
Knowing anything about it. That's
right.
Cool.
Yeah. We didn't know anything. And I mean, we learned a lot along the ways, you know, cause I raced two nights and blew an engine. I mean, it was over that quick in my mind, you know, it's like, well, that was fun, but it was short.
That was pretty much the Buick Regal.
Do you remember that first time you actually hit the track? Was it during like mud packing? Was it kind of heating? I mean, did you know what you're getting into once you
Not at track? All. Not at all. I had ordered my safety gear at that time, which was pretty much a helmet. You know, nobody cared about fire suits and stuff like that. Well,
right.
The fast guys did, but you know, us poor dirt farmers, we didn't know any better.
And a lap belt.
But my helmet, helmet that I ordered hadn't arrived yet, so I actually borrowed a helmet from a modified driver to drive the bomber car for the very first time.
That's
cool. Yeah, I did pretty good the first time. I think I was fighting for like third place and got tangled up with a guy. And of course, hey, you're the new guy, and you started it, so
you go
to the back.
Yeah, you go to the back. So is the heat race your actual first time then before the main?
Yeah.
During that heat race, I mean, did you think you got the feel for it, or natural, or are you all over the place?
No, actually, I had some other guys. I had some other guys that had raced before helping me, and they're like, "Man, what are you doing?" You know, and I'm like, the car won't even rev up. And they're like, "Well, what gear do you have it in?" And I said, "You told me to put the car in second gear. It's in second gear." And they're like, well, put it in first gear, you know, don't be stupid, you know. And I'm like, you told me to put it in second gear.
That's what I did, right. You guys have.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it, you know, at the same time, you know, a friend of ours that had run Circle Track before, years before, he told me, he's like, you know, you bring the car in after a heat race and it's 160 degrees, it's not even warmed up yet, you know, and he's like, don't bring the car back off the track unless it's warmed up. And I'm like, okay, so
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it's like, what's warmed up? And he's like, well, what does the temperature gauge go to? I said, 280, and he's like, "Yep, that'll work."
That's warmed up.
Yeah, so it was totally, you know, I was just flying by the seat of my pants, just doing the best that I could.
Well, that's cool. I mean, at that time, you probably realize you get 10 people telling you all this great advice, which who do you listen to?
Right. Yeah. You just tried to take little bits and pieces from everybody and, you know, hope that you finished the night still on your wheels and everything was good.
So that main, when you went out, did you,
I ended up finish like fifth place.
That's good. That's pretty damn good.
I mean,
one of the first times out.
Well, and especially considering a lot of the other drivers that I was racing against at that time, you know, most of all of them had been on the track before.
Right.
And it was even, I mean, my second chance to the track, I actually won the main event, which was, you know, I was on cloud nine at that point. And the track promoters, like, you know, he called the local radio station and they actually called me at home, you know, before the next race.
Wow.
And the track promoter's like, "Oh no, he's just a natural, you know, he's really good at this." And I'm like,
"You
want to
hear your head get about this big?"
Oh yeah.
And then you get your head kicked the next race.
No, actually that was the start of something really good. I mean, I actually won a lot of races in that old car.
You'd be surprised at that momentum once that happens. I talk about it, you know, all the time, is once you get that first win, man, something clicks, something happens, you know, and you start.
Well,
you know,
I think
that moment
mostly,
going
I think
forward.
It's confidence,
right.
Confidence in yourself, confidence
sure.
in what you're doing. But I mean, and like I said, we were terrible at it. You know, we'd be doing really good in the race, but like I said, we had catastrophic failures
sure.
as far as engine wise, because, you know, we didn't know any better.
You know, gear ratios,
right,
to be in, shifting, whatever. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And we were following the rules, you know, which...
Wait a minute.
That's what they're there for.
Well, and it was funny because in the rules to run a bomber class,
right.
It said no race gas, pump fuel only. And literally, we would race two nights and we would, you know, melt the pistons in the
sure.
engine. I mean... And it was like, you know, how long can we keep this up, having
right.
to rebuild an engine every two weekends, you know? And finally I asked one of the other guys, you know, one of the other race car
sure.
drivers, I'm like, "What are you doing to where your motor doesn't just self-explode,
you're
you know?"
Right.
And he's like, "Well, what kind of fuel are you running?" I'm like, "I'm running premium unleaded gasoline,
right.
you know, trying to get the octane levels as high as I can." And you know, we was going to the part store and buying octane boost and dumping it in. I mean,
yep.
we was trying everything we could. And he's like, "Why don't you run race gas?" And I'm like,
"Oh,
it
yeah,
says right in the rules," which, you know, and it was funny because I'm talking to the track promoter's son.
Well, that's funny. Right?
And I'm like,
checking for it.
Right. Yeah. It's right in the rules, no race fuel, you know? And he's like, "Well, I go down to the fuel place, you know, the gas station, and I buy 110, 112 octane race gas, and I put it into a barrel. And then I put my pump in it, and I pump it back out into the car, so now it's pump gas." And I'm like, oh well, that's handy.
The gray area.
Yeah, yeah, the read between the lines of what the rules actually say.
Oh, man.
But after that, we figured out that, you know, well, if you run 112 octane fuel, you don't melt the piston.
And you get to race longer, and
yeah,
it works
yeah.
a little better.
And the motor lasts a little
yeah,
longer.
Yeah, it lasts a lot longer, come to find out. So
that's funny. Do you look back and see anything that happened, like somebody took advantage of you being a rookie, like gave you some extra bumps or pushed you to the outside or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, that happened actually a lot. But, at the same time, I think I took full advantage of being that rookie.
Yeah, I didn't know any better.
Yeah, and it's like...
That's smart.
It was like, you know, like on our track, it was at that local track at May Valley Speedway. The track was a quarter mile, dirt oval, and it was probably, I mean, hands down, even to this day, the man who run that track, that owned the track, he did all of his own prep work, and that was probably the best prepped racetrack I have ever been on
to
this day. I mean, it was, you didn't have potholes, you didn't have ruts.
That's
cool. The track was tacky in the heat races, and it was dry slick in the main events. And I mean, and you could run six, seven classes on it and just pound it. I mean, there was nights that they'd run 50 lap mains, 100 lap mains,
nice.
and the track would take it. And I mean, he was good at what he did.
That's cool.
And, you know, I mean, we took advantage of a lot of that, you know. I mean, that was a pretty much, you were pushing the limits running too wide at, you know, you could run side by side.
Was that a quarter mile track? Okay.
Yeah. And you could run side by side with somebody. Three wide, you were begging for a crash at three wide. And there was, you know, as a rookie, you know, there was a lot of times it was like, you know, okay, the guy on the inside went extra low,
yep.
and the guy on the high side went
extra
high.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I'm going to stick it right between them because I'm not hitting the wall. I'm between them, you know.
Right,
so
right.
It's like, and I made it work a few times, you know, but I mean, it was definitely a learning experience.
That's cool. So in that same car, though, you got to progress and you get a lot of wins.
I actually won quite a few races in that car.
Did they start teching you differently when you started winning more often?
No, or not really. I mean,
it happens because how it is. You know, when you start winning, the eyes kind of get on you a little more by other people.
Well, and I think early, because I had pretty good luck right off the gate, I think the track promoter used me as much as anything to have like,
right.
Hey, you know, this guy came out here and he raced with us twice and he's
starting to win. Right.
And
yeah.
I think he used that to get a lot more people to say, hey,
yeah,
you know, well,
cool.
If this dirt farmer can do it, you know,
right.
I
anybody
can do it.
Can,
right. Yeah. Anybody can do it. And so I think he used me as much as anything of, you know, I don't think he was wanting to push me away or anything.
Sure.
I think he wanted me to keep coming just for the fact of,
keep using you.
Yeah, he was getting a lot of a good advertisement, I
right.
guess, out of me at the start.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah, and I mean, they actually teched the cars pretty heavy, especially at that class, because I mean they had vacuum rules and
wow.
I mean, yeah, I mean those cars, they had to idle like a showroom car
mm-hmm.
and pull 15 inches of vacuum. Well,
wow.
If you know a whole lot about motors, I'm not going to say there's nothing you can do.
there are things you can do.
Yeah. But, you know, to the most part,
yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, this dirt farmer doesn't know those tricks, which, you know, like I said, my father-in-law being a retired mechanic out of California, I didn't know those tricks.
He knew those tricks, right?
I didn't have to know those tricks. It was my job to get in the car and drive.
Plausible deniability.
Yep. Right, right.
We hear it all the time.
All the time. Well, I don't know what he's got.
My dad worked on the car. I don't know.
I just drive the damn thing.
Right, right.
Don't ask me. Ask him.
Well, that's cool, though. I mean, I guess when they tech that good, you got to respect, you know, the drivers more that you're racing against, knowing, hey, all these people pass tech one way or the other, you know, so you got to respect that the teching was as thorough as it was, but you're still out there. I would imagine not too many people were getting DQ'd or anything like that.
No, I mean, typically, I mean, if you were cheating, pretty much everybody knew you were cheating.
Right.
But at the same time, nobody was really going to say a whole lot because they were probably cheating too.
Right. Well,
so,
everybody was cheating in a little way.
Yeah. I think everybody was probably cheating the same.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, that's true.
Who can cheat the fastest?
Right.
But
yeah.
They just, yeah, it's the unspoken rule that everybody's getting away with.
The Richard Petty rule.
Right. Right.
How many did you get a championship or more?
No,
I
didn't cheat that good.
I wasn't that good of a cheater, I guess. And that between that and a lot of blown engines and
sure.
everything else like that. No, I came close several times. You know, I'd got second place several times and, you know, third or fourth or fifth, you know, throughout the years and everything. But no, never. Even to this day, I've never had a track championship. I mean,
I'm sure you do.
I don't want to put down the track champion from last year at Pahrump, but because I mean he's a great guy,
right.
and he can vouch for it that I was leading the points
wow.
for the track championship at Pahrump last year. I ended up second, but I actually called him up and I said, hey, do you know, is, you know, we had real low car count toward the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, is anybody coming? And he's like, I don't know. And I said, well, you know, have you heard, is Austin Kiefer coming?
Right.
No, he's out of town. I'm like, okay, is Brian Wolfenstein coming? No, he's out of town. And I told him, I said, you know, if I'm going to drive from Vegas all the way to Pahrump just to race one other car, you,
right.
I'm not coming. I said, you know, it was kind of pointless, really. I mean,
right.
in this
yeah,
aspects
yeah,
of
sure.
it was costing me, you know, with by the time I not even figuring my fuel, by the time I
right.
paid my entry fees and everything like that, and you race one car, okay, well, your prize money for the night's $50.
Right.
And that
right.
didn't even cover
yeah.
my entry fee.
Sure.
And so I told him, he's like, yeah, I don't know if anybody else is coming. I know those guys are not coming. And that was the normal crew.
Sure.
And I'd talked to, you know, like Justin Miller, he wasn't coming. Actually, his car had gotten stolen at that time. So,
oh, yeah.
And Vinny Rushi, you know, a junior, and they weren't coming. And I just told him right then,
right.
I said, well, congratulations on
no,
your track good. Championship because
wow. You know,
I'm not coming.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what?
Because, I mean, in the sense of things,
sure.
I mean, literally, I was in first place. He was in second place. And mainly it was because we were there the most.
Right.
I mean, we were consistently
right.
there.
Yeah.
And
more often.
Yeah. And I well, you know, I had missed a few races, but it was like, yeah, it's the
well,
track
yeah.
championship is not really worth
right.
that to me. So.
Sure. No, that's a good point because sometimes people go out there to race for a championship. Sometimes people go out to race for the win or just for fun, you know, I mean, when you can. And so championship, that's cool that it was within your grasp and, you know, you decided to kind of just – give it up.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really. I mean, to me, it wasn't really.
Right.
I mean, you know, nothing against Pahrump. I
sure,
mean,
sure.
I they're the closest track around, you
right.
know. So
for
I mean,
dirt.
And
yeah.
that's why. I mean, not there again. Not to put them down,
sure, sure.
but that's why I race there the most is because
right.
it's the closest to home, you know. But you know, when you, I guess, in your bragging profile,
right.
to say that you was a track champion at Pahrump in the modified class, and when you can watch in any given night, there was maybe four or five cars
right.
there.
It's not
it's,
the same bragging rights.
Yeah, it's not like, hey, I just
right.
won the NASCAR championship.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
yeah, okay.
Oh, no, that makes a lot of sense. So going back to Colorado, when you got out of the bomber division, did you get in another class?
Yeah, actually, at that point, for a while, I raced two classes. I raced bombers and then I jumped up to super stocks.
Oh, okay. Big which, difference obviously in the two or.
Oh yeah. There was, I mean, engine rules were a lot different. We could pretty much run motor wise. We could pretty much run whatever we wanted as long as we didn't have a roller cam. I mean, that was pretty much their
right.
only rule.
And you have a lot more chassis adjustments that you're allowed to do, I would imagine.
Yeah, we could actually run weight jacks and stuff like that.
You learn a lot from jumping into something like that to be able to make all these changes to realize, well, I could tune myself in a race or tune myself out of a race.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much I set up my car to run at that track because
cool.
there again, it was a close track.
Right.
I ran at other tracks too, but I mean, they were all relatively comparable to my home track.
Okay.
But the biggest thing that I noticed is whenever I ran my bomber car, you know, DOT tires and everything, and
makes sense, yeah.
and I hated a dry slick track and DOT tires. I mean, it was just it was terrible.
Right.
And then I jumped up to super stocks, you know, running more horsepower but wider tires and
mm-hmm.
you know more adjustments on the chassis. I learned to really like a dry slick track, and which actually helped me in my bomber car until
oh,
I
wow.
just gave it up. But
yeah.
yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, you noticed the difference in getting into that division. Was the competition as good as you thought it was going to be, or did you kind of just realize, hey, I'm kind of a natural at this too?
No, it was actually kind of ironic because you know there was one of the guys, and you know I kind of dating him at the same time, but one of the guys from whenever I was you know 5, 6, 7.
Right.
that whenever I went to the track and I actually got to ride in his car whenever I was a kid, he was still racing super stocks whenever I was racing super stocks.
Crazy.
So, I mean, I'd have to admit my first time on the track with that group of guys, it was
probably like, man, this is exciting.
I'm like, I hope I don't get in the way and get run over, and you know.
Well, I respect, you know, you want somebody to respect you as much as you respect them out there on the track, so you don't want to get in anybody's way, you know.
Yeah, well, and it was one of those that, hey, you know, I looked up to this guy pretty much my whole life growing up, and I don't want him to think I'm an idiot, you know, out here trying to keep up with him.
Exactly.
You know?
No, that's cool. That's cool. Was it your car or was it somebody else's car?
No, it was my car.
Wow. Okay. Because sometimes that makes a difference. Like, I know when I get in somebody else's car, when they're gracious enough to let me drive their car, I treat it differently than if it's my own, obviously, because you don't want to wreck it and things like that.
No, see, and I guess I've been poor enough, then maybe not a good enough driver. I don't know, but nobody's ever offered me to let me drive their car.
Right.
But at the same time, I always feel about the same in my own car as I would somebody else's, because you know, I've always been the one that if I tear it up, I'm the one that's got to fix it. So I really don't want to tear up my own equipment.
Right. Now that's a good point. Very valid point. We talk about that with a lot of the younger kids these days that race. They don't understand that because they don't have to fix their own stuff. Somebody else either fixes it for them or they take it to, you know, a chassis shop or something like that.
And I mean, a lot of these kids, I'm even in this class that I'm in now with modifieds, I mean, you guys, if you look through the pits, especially with the duel in the desert coming up, the pits, and I am an old man compared to a lot of these kids. I mean, a lot of these guys are 14, 15, 16 years old. And, you know,
and
I mean,
been racing for 14, 15, 16 years.
Yeah. Well, and at the same time, you know, I mean, as a older driver, you know, that, you know, I put the time into my car.
Right.
You wonder, because, you know, you see that young kid and he's, you know, walking through the pits or whatever, and you see three or four guys that's probably my age or older tuning on his car, and it's like, okay, well, you know, if he crashes his car, I mean, you get the feeling. You don't know it.
Right. You don't know that. You're right.
But you get the feeling of, okay, well, this kid crashes his car and my car, and dad's going to buy him a new car, and I'm out my car.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you got to fix your own car.
Right.
Come up with
something. So, I mean, you don't know that for sure, but I mean,
well,
that's
most likely that's
feeling
how,
that you get.
Yeah.
You know?
They'll have a car by next week.
Yeah.
And that's probably, that's probably
3 weeks later, you're still trying to put yours back together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're waiting to go.
Yeah.
You already got a new one.
Oh, well.
There's one already in the hauler that they brought.
Right. The rest of us are showing up. You know, if we're lucky, we got an enclosed trailer, and a lot of us don't. So
with mismatched tires, you're just making it over the hill. And they got the hauler. They're just
let's
drop the other car off the rack and race that one.
Yeah,
exactly. Man, where were those days in our life? Yeah. Where were that age? Oh well. Well, that's cool. The super stocks. You know, you got to experience that. Did you do that for multiple years?
I actually stuck with that until about 2007. I'd actually built two different super stocks.
And this was up in Colorado?
In Colorado, I raced mostly Colorado and Western Kansas.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And I raced the first super stock car until it was the last race of the season, and I got into it with a guy a little bit. And I actually rolled my car.
Oh, that sucks.
But it was kind of comical afterwards, because I mean we're in a super stock car, and I remember that night in particular that the announcer was saying that we were turning like a half a second a lap faster than the modified cars were.
No,
so I mean,
kidding.
We were flying, and I rolled my car. And they called the ambulance immediately, because rolled car ambulance is immediately on the track. But my car landed back onto its wheels. And it happened, I'm sure, really fast. But to me, being in the car, it seemed like it took an eternity for this thing to roll over. And I just remember, looking around, and you know, the car was on its wheels, and visibly from inside the car, I seen zero damage.
Wow.
And
you're
so I actually did. I reached down and I hit the starter button and it started.
Oh, wow. That's
and
crazy.
So I just threw it in gear and I took off.
Oh, shit.
And at that track, this was actually in Kansas. It was, they called the race, they called it the Flatlander, as in Goodland, Kansas.
Hmm.
And at that track, there was a track official stood on the infield.
Oh, wow.
And I pulled up next to him and I'm like, hey, look at my car. You know, tell me, you know, is everything, you know, is it everything broke, tore up, you know? And
yep.
He's like, no, it looks good. Tires are all up. It looks good. It looks okay. And, you know, of course, I'm still, you know,
right.
Not
half out of it. Yeah.
Half there.
I was, I guess, too, I don't know, too dumb to be afraid. I don't know.
Right.
But I never left the track. I just, you know, they put me at the back of the pack and I.
They let you go. Huh?
Yeah, they let me
wow.
keep racing.
Oh, that's cool.
And it ended up, I
mean,
finished.
Didn't chase you.
No. It was actually funny because the track official was like hollering at the ambulance guy. He's like, hey, can we get the ambulance off of the racetrack? This guy's not finished yet, you know.
That's cool.
And I actually finished seventh place in that race.
Wow.
And gained a bunch of fans.
Yeah, I gained a few fans over that one. But that kind of retired that car afterwards because I started looking at actually, my father and my father-in-law were both in the pits at that race.
Right.
And a friend of mine said, hey, Brad just rolled his car. And they're like, what? And he's like, yeah, Brad just rolled his car. And about that time, I drive around the track. And they're like, no, he's right there. And so until the race was over and I pulled off of the track, actually, even my dad walked up to the race car. And, of course, I had the window net down and my helmet off. And he's like, did you roll this car?
No
and
kidding.
I said, yeah, I did. And he didn't believe me at first, but then he started seeing that, you know, the top of the cap smashed a little bit and everything. And he's like, I can't believe you just did that.
And kept on racing.
And kept racing.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So shortly after that, I guess.
I built a new car.
Of course. Got to roll something different, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, a lot of the guys, you know, that I raced with, I mean, there was one guy in particular that he actually, you know, he was, I mean, still is quite a bit older than me, but he actually, when he was younger, had raced what would be the, or what was at that time, the Busch Series in NASCAR.
That's
and he got into a really bad crash and broke his neck, and his wife told him, you're done with
no
that.
More.
So he actually raced dirt with us. And
you can't race NASCAR, but you can go race dirt.
Yeah. I don't know how that makes sense, but it did at their house, I guess. But he had told me, he's like, you need to build a new car. He's like, at that time, you know, my car was, I mean, still home-built car. And he's like, your car is so inferior to the rest of the cars that you're driving.
Wow.
He's like, you probably outdrive 90% of us.
That's cool.
He said, the thing that's stopping you from winning a lot is you have a piece of crap race car.
He's like, okay.
And I'm like, okay. So I started looking around. And at that time, you know, the big thing, you know, back in Colorado was Terminator chassis.
Hmm.
And I started looking into, okay, well, how much does a Terminator chassis cost? And I quickly decided that I didn't have the money to do that.
We're not terminating.
So it was like, okay, well, Terminator chassis and stuff like that, they use a lot of the old Cutlass and, you know, mid-80s Cutlass, Monte Carlo, stuff like that. So
all
I
right.
found an 85 Monte Carlo,
oh,
and
cool.
Once again, I built my own car.
So it was a one-off, yeah.
It was probably three or four off. Yeah. But,
that's cool, though, that, you know, you're able to look at it and figure out, hey, I can make my own one of these.
I'm sure mine was nowhere close to what they had, but...
A little different engineering went into that.
Yeah, well, and you know, I did the best I could to look that good, but... not close.
That's
but,
cool. That's funny. Did you race that pretty decent, or
as
you liked?
No, I never really. I mean, in the super stocks, you know, at that point in my life, I I had a few wins, a lot of second, third place finishes, but right. you know, I just, I didn't win a lot near, not near as much as I did in the bomber class.
Well, the good thing is you still stuck to it and had the passion for racing, dirt track racing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I moved from Colorado out here in 2007.
Okay.
And my plan was at that point, I was like, okay.
Did you get rid of all your stuff before you moved down or?
Pretty much. I'm like, I'm going to sell my race cars and stuff. And my plan was, okay, we're going to, we'd came out here several times, you know, on vacation or whatever.
Sure.
And I'm like, we had been to Pahrump and watched the races and everything.
Did
and
you know there was an asphalt track out here? Or did it never kind of appeal to you? That's funny because you look for the first dirt track and figured, hey, this is the closest track.
Right, right. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about the asphalt or anything.
That's funny. That's
but my
cool.
plan was at that time is okay, I'm going to sell off my racing stuff. I'm going to move to Vegas, and I'm going to buy a modified.
Wow. Okay.
But that was in 2007, so that didn't happen either because I got here just in time.
Oh, yeah, the big crash,
yeah.
economy crash, yeah,
for the
78,
economy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
so
true.
I came out here with, you know, a promise of a good job and everything, and then I was here for a couple of years and was one of the many that was, you know, without a job for a while, and it was like doing anything and everything that I could
right.
just to, you know, keep a roof over my
yeah,
head and food on the table.
Yeah. Well, you made it through that. I mean, you're here today and talking
yeah.
about modified racing and stuff. So you got through another, what, two, three, I don't know, what did that last, 3 or 4 years, something like that. And when did you finally get your modified that you're looking for?
Well, that's actually a funny story too, that a buddy of mine, which I didn't even know the guy at the time, was Justin Miller. My daughter was dating this high school kid, and him and his friend were doing pit crew for Justin at the Pahrump Dirt Track.
That's funny.
And, of course, you know, my daughter, I think, wanted to go. I mean, she's liked racing because I've raced
sure.
forever, but I think she wanted to go see her boyfriend more
right.
than she wanted to go to races.
Watch you race, yeah.
And she was only 16 and knew that Dad wasn't letting her drive clear to Pahrump by herself.
Right.
And she kind of, you know, through the bait, and I took it, you know, hey, there's a race
yeah,
tonight.
You
want
to go to a race with
yeah.
me?
Right. Yeah.
They're racing, you know, you've been talking about it.
Right. And so I went over
that's
and we went and watched and everything, or was watching, and I went in the pits and I watched these two high school age kids working on his car. And I, you know, like I said, I didn't know him at all. I didn't know Justin at all. And I walked up to him, and him and actually Aaron McMorrin were both there.
Yeah.
And I walked up to him and I said, dude, I don't mean to tell you your business, but I said, these two kids are going to kill you.
That's funny.
Because one of them was trying to put the tire on backwards.
Oh,
I mean, like the wheel
gosh.
On
really?
The car backwards. And I'm like, and it was funny because some guy walked by and he's like, oh, Justin, you're giving out your speed secrets, huh? And he's like, well, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, the stickers are still on your tires. I see you got the left rear tire on the right
oh,
and the right rear tire on the left. And,
oh, man.
And so I actually helped him out that night
no
and
kidding.
Started helping him work, you know, fix the car a little bit.
That's
and
cool.
And it just kind of stemmed from there. He asked me a couple of times, hey, I'm going to race in Paris, California. You want to come with me?
Wow.
And I said, you know, sure, you know, and started helping him out. And, of course, being around racing,
right.
the bug got to
oh,
bite
yeah.
me a little bit more.
Yep, so you see all these different tracks you're going to.
Well, and seeing, you know, being that close to a guy that's kind of doing what your dream is
right.
you know, driving a modified car. So, and actually, Vinny Rucci Jr., approached me and he's like, hey, when are you going to get a car? And I said, well, when I find one I can afford, I guess. And he's like, I know a guy.
Well.
And so he called this guy up and he talked to him for a little bit. And the guy had a turnkey modified.
Oh, no kidding.
That he was wanting to get rid of, that he had bought for his son, and his son really didn't care. And the guy wasn't getting any return really on his,
sure.
on his money. And he told me, he's like, well, he's like, I'd take $15,000 for this car turnkey. I told him, I said, I don't have $15,000. What I do have is I got $10,000 in cash. And he said, come get it.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
So I drove clear to Phoenix, Arizona,
oh,
and
cool.
picked up the very next day before he changed his mind.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we know how quick those minds uh-huh. change, man. So
well, and I didn't really want my wife to change her
yeah.
mind either before I got there.
Honey, where's that 10 grand at?
It's on its way to Arizona.
Yeah.
What's that in our driveway?
Mm-hmm. Well, I picked up the new cabinets for the kitchen.
Well,
go look in the driveway.
Yeah.
That's where the cabinets
right.
are.
Yeah.
Next year. Well, that's cool. So you went down to Phoenix, picked up your new, well, I won't say new, but your...
Yeah, oh,
well,
new. It was close to new.
Really?
I mean,
wow.
It was a 2015
nope,
and
sure.
Victory by Billy Moyer chassis and
nice.
Had a crate engine in it with only like 10 or 12 nights on it.
Wow.
I mean, I think the car only had 10 or 12 nights on it.
No
so, I mean,
kidding.
It was practically a brand new car.
That's a deal. Huh.
I mean, it was. I had a few bumps and bruises, you know, because they had driven it. But I mean, all in all, it was in really good shape.
Sweet. Wow, that's interesting. Of course, getting into it, you didn't know anything about modifieds at the time, except for working on them. So you had some experience and knew how to get into trouble.
Yeah. Well, I figured it out really fast how to get in trouble.
Right.
No, I relied a lot on Justin to help me out and everything. And I, you know, I would try to explain to him, hey, this is what I feel. And I'm pretty sure he was rolling his eyes like, you have no idea, you know. And he would give me that advice that every modified driver has, you know. It's like, well, if it's not handling very good, it's because you're not going fast enough. And it's like, oh.
Well, that's the advice. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was one of those that's like, yeah, I really don't have confidence in being able to go that fast just yet. But
that's funny.
But yeah, they always tell you, at least in modifieds and dirt, that you drive it in the corner and you don't lift until you see Jesus. And then after that, you go another 10 feet. So. But it works. If you can
that's
if
when
you
they
can,
want a medium.
Right? Yeah, well, and I think so sometimes. But that's good advice if you can get the nerve enough to
sure.
do it. The first time you do it, it's like, hey, that worked.
That actually
you know,
works.
But most of the time, you're like, yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to make the corner.
Well, let me tell you, I respect you guys and these modifieds of today because the only experience I had with a dirt modified was a leaf spring car. So what you guys do with these things today is amazing. You know, I don't know how you guys do it. So I respect what you guys have going on.
That's the thing is, I mean, even as much as I've learned, I, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, I don't even claim to be fast. There's some of these guys that without a doubt in
sure.
anybody's mind, they are fast.
Right.
And, you know, if you look at my cheat sheets and see what I'm running, and if you look at their stuff, they're like, oh yeah,
right.
he's doing that. Remember when
right.
we used to do that?
Yeah. Right. They're like 4 years in advance.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah. They're probably like, yeah, we did that back in, you know, we did that 5 years ago, you know?
Well, and that's crazy because like when we went to PRI show, was it last year ish? Mm-hmm. That's that, you know, the race
sure.
Performance show back east. And it's amazing some of the technology in these dirt modifieds and stuff. It's just nuts. I couldn't believe half the stuff
oh.
I've seen, if not that they put in these things. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, and some of the stuff that they're doing, you know, now. I mean, to the old dirt track guy, they'll tell you, oh yeah, everybody's doing this, and you're like, there is no way that would even
right.
work.
It shouldn't even work,
that
right?
That should not work. And you're like, okay, you get to the point that it's like, okay, well, they're all faster than I am. So I'm going to, you know, if it costs me a little bit of money, I'm going to try it even to say, yeah, I was right. That didn't work. And, mm-hmm. and you try some of that stuff and that's like, wow, I'm faster. You know,
yeah.
It's like that should have never worked. And it does.
But it does. Right. No, that's cool. I wouldn't even know where to start in a modified, especially on dirt, you know, today, but I don't know. I'm not a dirt guy. Gary's more of a dirt guy.
I've been there once or twice.
I've never raced asphalt. They used to say that at May Valley Speedway, our home track, that there was a lot of guys that said whenever that track went dry slick that it was just like driving an asphalt track. So, but that's as close as I've ever been. I always thought it would be kind of cool to drive an asphalt car, but I just, you know, never had the opportunity. I was around it too, you know, with Justin. He ran asphalt modified, and Pat Petrie and stuff like that.
Their guys get kind of bored with asphalt. It seems that way versus the other way around, but I don't know.
It definitely seems like there's a whole lot more to do at a dirt track than there is far as asphalt, because, you know, they don't even get their car dirty.
Right.
You know, I mean, we go out and get our car dirty first
right.
5 minutes we're there.
Exactly. You don't have to be racing and get dirty during mud packing.
Right. Yeah, if you stand too close to the fence during mud packing, you don't even have to be in a car and get dirty.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's how they keep you from the fence.
Yeah.
Hey, did you say you did some demoing, or was that?
Yeah,
we missed a little segment, the section there.
I did demolition derby for a year before I ever started racing, and it just the round and round sounded way more fun. One time that I demolition derbied and did any good, I hurt so bad the next day I couldn't even hardly get out of bed.
Was this up in Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He used to do some demos.
That's what he was telling me. Yeah, it was kind of comical. You know, it was one of those on that one. It was, they told me that it was like, I don't know why you even are going to try, because that guy over there wins all of these demolition derbies.
Well, that's
and of course,
that's the challenge, right?
Right. And I mean, keeping in mind, I was in my 20s then, you know, and I was like, yeah, okay, we'll see about that.
Yep.
Well, I hit him as hard as I could, but after that was pretty much it, because my seat broke and I fell into the back seat, and you know, it was all bad from there on. But but yeah, that was kind of short-lived. Everybody back then had station wagons and stuff like that. I didn't, you know, I had a old Lincoln Town Car, you know, and it was, I actually bought it from, he was my old high school principal had built this car, and whenever he went to put it in the derby the year before, the fuel pump went out and it wouldn't run.
Oh.
And so he sold it to me for like $200, and I'm like, okay, I can put a fuel pump in it, you know, and went out and had some fun. But yeah, I was extremely sore for about 2 days afterwards. And then my father-in-law brought up the circle track was coming back. I had actually gotten another derby car. I was going to do it again.
No,
but, my father-in-law said, hey, they're opening up the local racetrack, you know, and I was like, that sounds like way more fun.
A lot more fun, less pain.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize till these guys, you know, him and the guy that he used to do it with, explained about like welded and bolt and chain or what. I didn't know any differences.
Chain and bolt, yeah.
I thought, you know, demolition was demolition. I never really looked in, you know, knew that much about it.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't either. Like I was telling Gary, my nephew still does it in Colorado.
Wow.
And I mean, and he's actually done really well. He's won two or three, he was actually, they have like, I guess their would be equivalent of our duel in the desert. They have a big, demolition derby back in Topeka, Kansas called Blizzard Bash. And he went out there a couple years ago and give it a try. And I think he felt fortunate for how good he did, but I think he was going to try it again this year. And because of the COVID and everything that they postponed it to, where I think they're not doing it until like April now or something like that. So at least I think in some aspects it gives him more time to work on his car,
or more people to enter.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, that's what makes it fun, right? The more, I just can't believe what goes into some of these demo guys' cars, what they do. It's amazing.
I've seen some of the stuff that my nephew does, and I just shake my head.
I actually
gave him some of my, you know, some of my old racing parts, you know, like an engine block and crankshaft and stuff like that. And he was telling me, he's like, I had a guy build that motor for me. He's like,
wow.
I'm like, you had a guy do it? And he's like, yeah. My dad kind of let the cat out of the bag. He's like, yeah, he paid that guy like $6,000. And I'm like, oh my word.
We went and watched a demo derby they had. It was a pretty big event. The most demos I've seen. It was just a demolition derby event. And the motors some of these things had must have been $15,000 motors.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
I guess that's where, you know, where it's at. You got to keep running. You know, they and these guys are running with no water.
right.
For you know.
We did that one right downtown.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. The one downtown they had here. It was just it was.
Is that the
amazing?
Yeah.
The Plaza, whatever it was.
Yeah. That. Parking lot off of the Plaza, yeah.
Those guys had extra front ends out there. Only thing they had
came,
to do was bolt them up there.
What was the prize money on those? Those
like
were
$15,000.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there was some real money in that. More than you would get in any dirt or asphalt racing, you know, in a demo.
Amazing. I think the Blizzard Bash is something like that. I mean, it's some like $15,000-$20,000 to win or something like that, which – as to me is just, I guess it's hard to fathom that kind of money to just to smash a car. But I mean, I have seen like the Blizzard Bash. I've seen it on YouTube and everything like that. And I mean,
look that up.
Those guys are, they definitely have their game on because,
and that's what it is. They're professional demolition derby.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Those aren't just, you know, something that somebody decided to do one night and a bunch of their buddies got in a car.
Drinking beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's
smash this car up.
They know where to hit you, how hard to hit you, how you're going to turn, how you're going to, they know.
Oh, yeah. Their car is built like a, you know, a bulldozer. I mean, they don't bend.
If they do bend, they make them bend where, you know,
they
modify them where they, where they want them to bend. So
yeah, it's
cool.
It's amazing.
It's really cool. But, oh well. Gary won't be doing any more of those, will you?
No,
maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see. Hey, you brought up the big modified race out here that they're going to have. Are you signed up for that?
Oh, yeah. I'm probably just donating my money and my time, but I try to be fast.
Because they usually put it out pretty early for pre-entry and stuff like that.
I actually got pre-entered really early.
Cool.
I was kind of hoping the whole COVID thing was going to be just, you know, oh, this will hang around for a couple of months and then we'll
back to normal,
on with our life. But it's definitely hung on a little bit more than I think what anybody wanted it. Definitely me wanted it to.
Sure.
It was like, you know, a lot of the races got canceled and this and that. And this year I've only been in my car four races as all this year. So, I mean, which, you know, last year I raced a lot and I had actually planned on doing a lot more this year. And then COVID came around and it's like, no, we're not.
Right. Have you watched the duel when they had spectators? Have you been out there before?
Oh yeah. Yeah. This will actually be my third time.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Cool. Third time competing?
Yes. Third time competing.
Oh. Wow,
yeah.
And there'll be no spectators. Unfortunately, I don't think.
Not
as of right now.
Yeah, not from what I'd heard.
Right. Hey, we only got a couple minutes left. Are there any sponsors or any? I know you say you do a lot of your own stuff, but anybody you want to talk about?
Realistically, I have one sponsor, and that's Justin Miller at A First Impressions. I mean, you know, he's been a good friend of mine and everything, and him and his family have helped me out a lot. So.
Cool. Well, we appreciate you coming in. It sucks we're out of time because we can go probably another hour. But if anybody wants to find you, look you up, or where you're going to be racing next, it's going to be at a duel, I imagine. You got a Facebook page or anything?
I got a sort of a Facebook page. My daughters are my pit crew and everything, and my wife. But it's on the chip racing, and I'm on Facebook, Bradley Hopkins.
So look for Bradley Hopkins. We appreciate you coming in. Sorry we ran out of time, but coming back in and see how you're doing. See how you did at the duel.
I appreciate
you
for having me.
We'll see you live here. No, we're not going to be here next Tuesday. It's election time. We're going to say replay. If you want to be at home, we're safe.
That's right.
With our ammo. So we'll see you next Tuesday, but we'll see you the following Tuesday, but we're going to replay or something like that. Thanks again, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening.